بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، والصلاة والسلام على رسوله محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنا أنزلناه في ليلة القدر وما أدراك ما ليلة القدر. ليلة القدر خير من ألف شهر، تنزل الملائكة والروح فيها بإذن ربهم من كل أمر. سلام هي حتى مطلع الفجر. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: من قام ليلة القدر إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي ربي زدني علما. Respected listeners, Surat al-Qadr, we will start by translating. Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr. Indeed, we have revealed it in the night of power, or laylatul qadr, the night of predestination, the night of power. Some would translate it as the night of appreciation. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ. And what will make you know what is لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ? لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ. The night of لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ, it is better than 1,000 months. تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالرُّوحُ فِيهَا بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِمْ مِّنْ كُلِّ أَمْرٍ. The angels, and especially Jibreel alayhi salam, they soar down, they come and they pour down from the skies. They fly and they burst down from the skies onto the earth. بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهَا مِنْ كُلِّ أَمْرٍ. With the permission or the command of their Lord from every matter. سَلَامٌ هِيَ حَتَّى مَطْلَعِ الْفَجْرِ. Peace in it, or peace it is, until the rising of the dawn. Surat al-Qadr is one of those surahs which we recite commonly. And sometimes when we think about the meanings of Laylatul Qadr, we generally think the meanings of Laylatul Qadr are not practical or practically applicable to us outside of Ramadan. But this is not true. Any surah of the Qur'an isn't just giving us guidelines for us to benefit just in any specific time. But if we look very carefully in the Qur'an, even those things that look like they're specific for a specific situation, we can still benefit from it in some way, shape, or form or another. We can change our worldview through it. We can build our ta'alluq with Allah. And it can also serve as means for our motivation for our day-to-day activities. Laylatul Qadr is no exception to that. If we really ponder over the meanings and some of the discussions in Laylatul Qadr, we can find that Allah Ta'ala gives us such things, such subtle messages in here, or, you know, not subtle, but Allah Ta'ala gives us such messages in here that these are not, Laylatul Qadr is not only practical for the month of Ramadan, but Laylatul Qadr is such a month, the Suratul Qadr is such a surah that if we pondered over it properly, it can bring significant change and grand change into our lives on a day-to-day basis. And that's ultimately the goal. We reflect upon the meanings of the Qur'an. We learn the application of Qur'an to bring change into our lives on a day-to-day basis. Okay? We have to learn to apply it practically. Right? In one hadith narrated Imam Bayhaqi's Shu'ab al-Iman, the hadith, in one place, it is attributed to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what we call in the science of hadith marfu'an. But Imam Bayhaqi, in the narration right after, he transmits it as a saying, statement of Ali radiallahu anhu, which in the science of hadith we term as mawquf. And that hadith, that narration states, يوشك أن يأتي على الناس زمان لا يبقى من الإسلام إلا اسمه ومن والقرآن إلا رسمه. That soon a time will come upon the people in which nothing is left from Islam except for its name, and nothing is left from the Quran except for its written form. Meaning, Islam will just be an academic endeavor. The study of Quran is just going to be an academic endeavor. At most, people will just be interested in reciting it, but there will be none left who will, very, very thin, very, very rare will we find people who will be interested in learning the meanings of Quran to implement it. The Quran's practice and teaching has to be seen in my life and in your life. لا من القرآن إلا رسمه. That from the signs of the Day of Qiyamah is that the Quran will only remain in terms of its written form. People will only see it as words, they will only recite it, but in terms of practical application, in terms of bringing change into people's day-to-day life, nobody will be interested in that any longer. We have to make sure we are not from those people, and this is again the objective behind these discourses on the study of the meanings of Quran, on explanation, on explaining and explicating the meanings of Quran, so that you and I, we can bring the practical implementation of the Quran into our day-to-day lives. And this is how the great ulama of the ummah were. Just a recent example, Alama Nur Shah al-Kashmiri rahimahullah, he was one of the most prolific scholars of the last century. His student, who was also a prolific scholar, encyclopedic scholar, Qari Muhammad Tayyib Sahib rahimahullah, he used to say that when we, the students, wanted to observe the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we wanted to determine what was the Islamic way in anything, be it the methodology of performing salah, what was the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in behavior, in speech, in walking, in dress, in anything. All we had to do was just look at Alama Anwar Shah al-Kashmiri rahimahullah, who passed away in the year 1352, which is literally 90 years ago from this year. He would say that if we wanted to learn what was the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we would merely observe Alama Anwar Shah al-Kashmiri rahimahullah, and he would say just by looking at him we could figure, okay, this is the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is how we should be with Quran. We should be demonstrating the teachings and the meanings of Quran in our lives, that people look at us and they should be able to determine, okay, this is what it means. This is what the Quran teaches us and tells us. So inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr. Indeed, we have revealed it on laylatul qadr. Allah Ta'ala emphasizes on a few levels here the weight of the Quran, the value of the Quran. How grand and magnificent the Quran is. Inna anzalna. Those who understand Arabic, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have just said, he could have sufficed with anzaltuhu fi laylatil qadr, that I have revealed it on the night of power. But Allah ta'ala doesn't say that here. He says, inna anzalnahu. Indeed we have revealed it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the jama mutakallim, the plural first person, on two occasions here in this first two words. Allah Ta'ala says we, inna, and again he says anzalna, we have revealed. So Allah Ta'ala is giving a double emphasis that we have revealed it, meaning the Quran, that it's not something ordinary, it's something that only somebody as mighty and as magnificent as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as grand as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, only he is befitting of sending down the Quran. And even if a person, he looks at the recitation of Quran, right, Allah ta'ala, he says we, this is like a royal way of speaking, right? Kings, they don't just say I, when they declare, make a decree, the king, he says, it is by the power invested in us, we decree this. So Allah Ta'ala is not just speaking normally, he's not just saying I, he's saying we as a royal form of speech to emphasize the fact that the Quran is no ordinary book. And even in the recitation of this ayah, we have what is called a... Okay, it seems that the internet... Okay. Okay, I apologize for that. It seems I'm having some connectivity issues. Alright, Bismillah, Alhamdulillah, Salatu wassalamu ala Rasulillah. We were having some connection issues. We are back. So I was saying that even if we look at the recitation of this ayah, the pronunciation of the words in this ayah, Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr. Well then, whoever is still listening, let me just send a notice that we are resuming. Okay. So even if we look at the recitation of this ayah, we have in the word inna what we call a mad munfasil. Right? Inna, we're not just cutting off min tariq al-Shatibiyyah, we are not just cutting off the mud, we are reading a mud, we are elongating where Allah Ta'ala says we. Inna anzalna. So it gives off the meaning of, it gives off the impression of something weighty, something mighty that is that being revealed on the Laylatul Qadr, on the night of power, and that is Qur'an. Again, we've discussed the value and the virtues of Qur'an. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has emphasized the virtue of Qur'an in this ayah, that on the greatest of nights, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed the greatest of speech, and that greatest of speech was sent via the greatest of angels upon the greatest of prophets to the greatest of ummas. Right? This is no ordinary speech. Everything involved, anything that is connected, anything that is related to Qur'an, anything that is any shape or form related to the Qur'an has Allah Ta'ala's divine assistance and has barakah in it. Right? And this is something that the scholars of the past have always testified to, that any person who recites Qur'an, he will find it easier to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all of his other matters and all of his other issues. Okay? A person, when he brings the recitation of Qur'an in his life, he will find that engaging the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will become easier. A person who engages in the recitation of Qur'an, his salah will improve. A person who engages in the recitation of Qur'an, he'll find that extra boost to engage in other forms of ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to the point that those scholars who were writers of the past, they would say, those scholars who were prolific authors and writers of the past and researchers, they would say that on those days that I did not recite Qur'an, I would struggle to put my pen on paper and have my thoughts flow out. But on those days in which I did recite Qur'an, I find myself, you know, flowing with words on paper. And this is the nature of Qur'an. One of the Qurra, the Imams of the recitation of Qur'an of the past, Muhammad ibn Ahmad al-Khayyat, rahimahullah, just to emphasize how the Qur'an is beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Muhammad ibn Ahmad al-Khayyat, rahimahullah, lived a very long life and he was a qari of his time, meaning he was a person who had the Qur'an memorized, he knew how to recite the Qur'an properly, he had the practical application of Qur'an in his life. He knew the meanings of Qur'an. And he would teach it to others as well. He was what we call a muqri', a person who would teach others the recitation of Qur'an and the meanings of Qur'an as well. He lived for a grand total of approximately 97 years. He died at approximately the age of 97. After he passed away, it is mentioned in Ibn Kathir, Allah Hafidh Ibn Kathir's Bidayah wa Nihaya, that after he had passed away, he was seen in a dream. Some of the people had seen him in a dream, and he was in a very, very good complexion. He was in a very good form. So obviously, naturally, somebody had asked him in the dream that, you know, what happened? How to go with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Right? Was Allah ta'ala pleased with you? What happened? So Muhammad ibn Ahmad al-Khayyat, rahimahullah, he says something very, very powerful. He says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave me. Right? Again, this man had lived for 97 years. And he says what? Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive me? لِتَعْلِيمِ الصِّبْيَانِ الْفَاتِحَةِ Allah ta'ala forgave me because I would teach little children Surah Al-Fatiha. Right? That was the most beloved action in this entire man's life to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he would teach little children Surah Al-Fatiha. That's why we should never underestimate the value of sending our kids to makatib, to institutions, to madaris. Never ever underestimate the value of any good deed, right? When we're sitting and we're listening to the meanings and the teachings of Qur'an, we hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with this action. Ultimately, that's all that matters. quantity and quality is irrelevant. Quantity is irrelevant to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala admonishes the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with regards to the Battle of Hunain. إِذْ أَعْجَبَتْكُمْ كَثْرَتُكُمْ, where your numbers fascinated you. You were fascinated by your numbers. And those numbers, it didn't even help. It did nothing in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was only Allah ta'ala who helped you on the day of Hunain. Okay? This is where Alama bin Nuri rahimahullah, he used to instruct the people. Anyway, I'm getting off topic here. So the point is, everything that is involved with the Quran is blessed, right? And we mentioned this hadith previously that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Innakum la tarji'una ila Allah bi shay'in afdala mimma kharaja min," that you will not be able to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with anything more virtuous than that which has come from Him. And he is referring to in that hadith the Quran, meaning the Quran is the best way. To connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through its recitation and through learning its meanings and practically applying those meanings into one's life, one will find ease in connecting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next discussion here is about Laylatul Qadr, when is it, and the wisdoms on hiding this night. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not told us exactly when Laylatul Qadr is, but Allah ta'ala has given us indications in the Quran when this night is. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ. Allah Ta'ala says that Ramadan is the month in which the Quran was revealed. And then in Surah Al-Dukhan, Allah Ta'ala says, "Inna anzalnahu fi laylatin mubarakah." We have revealed the Quran in a blessed night. And here in Laylatul Surah Al-Qadr, "Inna anzalnahu fi laylatin qadr." Indeed, we have revealed the Quran on the Laylatul Qadr. From this we can deduce, as the majority of the ulama have deduced, that Laylatul Qadr is in the month of Ramadan. There is a bigger discussion here which is beyond the scope of the average, you know, beyond the scope of this discussion. Those, if there are any ulama who are listening, I'm not going into that discussion here. I'm trying to keep things simple for the sake of the audience and to keep it practical. Okay. So when is Laylatul Qadr? We find in the hadith that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam encourages us to seek it, to seek out Laylatul Qadr in the last 10 nights of Ramadan. Initially, as a hadith in Bukhari states, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew when the Laylatul Qadr would be. When it was, he was informed, but some companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, may Allah be pleased with them. Okay, we only take their names when we discuss the Sahaba. We always have to discuss them with respect and nothing but adab. We cannot show any sign of disrespect towards the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They got into a bit of an argument about some matter. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to inform them of the night of Laylatul Qadr, the knowledge was taken away of the exact night due to the argument that was taking place. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam admonished them that due to this argument, due to arguing and this argumentation, that the knowledge of Laylatul Qadr has been taken away. Now again, we mentioned that we speak of the Sahaba only with respect and adab. Ultimately, it was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's decree to have the knowledge of Laylatul Qadr taken away. And ultimately, عَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. Perhaps you dislike something, but there is good in it, because Allah Ta'ala puts good in it. One thing here is about argumentation. We love to argue, we love to fight, we love to infight. Why? Because we beckon to every single one of our nafs' desires. Right? The nafs tells us, no, talk back to him. No, how dare he attack your ego? Talk back to him. No, say something back. You have to win the argument. You have to get the last word in. That's what the nafs tells us. We have to learn to fight against the whims of the nafs. We have to learn to fight against the whims of our desires. Say no to our nafs. Put our foot down against our nafs. Know that if we fight our nafs, you're not going to die. There's going to be some pain because of our nafs. But we have to learn to feel that pain. We have to learn to do mujahada against nafs. We don't need to put the last word in. We can just stay quiet. In fact, Rasulullah sallallahu says, "Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir falyaqul khayran aw liyasmut." Whoever believes in Allah on the last day, then let him speak good or stay silent. Don't say anything. You don't have to talk. Many of the great ulama of the past were tawil as-samt, right? Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah was somebody who was described as tawil as-samt. He would stay silent for long periods of time. There's no snow, we need to talk. Much of the damage we do to ourselves in life is due to us talking too much. Okay? So we have to learn to control our tongues. We don't have to win arguments. Often it happens between, you know, married couples that argumentation takes place. There's no need. If one party gets angry, then let the other party stay silent until everybody cools down. right? And then reconcile. But if both parties are just shouting over each other, it just becomes a shouting match. You can just stay quiet. You don't have to beckon. You don't have to become a slave to the nafs. If we look at it this way, maybe it will help. That when we beckon to every single one of our nafs desires, that I have to say something. In fact, we are enslaving ourselves to the nafs. We have to free ourselves from the desires of the nafs. We have to fight against it. We have to declare war against our own nafs. The hadith states, وَالْمُجَاهِدُ مَنْ جَاهَدَ نَفْسَهُ فِي طَاعَةِ اللَّهِ. The true warrior is the one who struggles against his nafs in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what are some of the wisdoms of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hiding the Laylatul Qadr? Allah ta'ala has hidden Laylatul Qadr. What are some of the wisdoms in hiding Laylatul Qadr? And again, I remind myself and those listening, we only have we have barely 2 months left until Ramadan. What's today? The 24th. Depending on the moon sighting, you know, Ramadan is going to be approximately the second or third week, maybe the end of the second week or beginning of the third week of April. All right, we are less than 3 months away from Ramadan, so we have to start preparing for that. May Allah Ta'ala allow us. Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa ballighna Ramadan. Ameen. May Allah Ta'ala bless us in Rajab and Sha'ban and allow us to reach Ramadan. This is the time for us to really build our ta'alluq connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to free ourselves from the chains and the shackles and our slavery of the dunya, and to free ourselves by enacting our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what are some of the wisdoms in hiding the Laylatul Qadr? Three wisdoms that we can deduce from not specifying exact date of Laylatul Qadr. Again, we find in the hadith that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructs us to seek it in the odd last 10 nights of Ramadan. This is a good time for to do i'tikaf as well. The men do i'tikaf in the masjid. Okay, this is a good time to do that. Our brothers should make the intention, inshallah, I'm going to do i'tikaf in the last 10 nights of Ramadan, inshallah. It's a good sunnah to make amal on. What are some of the wisdoms in hiding Laylatul Qadr? One is, a person, by Allah Ta'ala not specifying Laylatul Qadr, it encourages us to spend more nights in ibadah. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specified that Laylatul Qadr is on, let's say, the 27th, right? If Allah Ta'ala straight, purely, absolutely, you know, without a doubt, absolutely conclusively specified that it is the 27th night of Ramadan, people will just wait for the 27th night, right? And then they're going to put all their work on the 27th night, and then the 28th, 29th, everybody's lazy. And this is, unfortunately, the scenario we see. Anybody who's ever led Taraweeh knows the unfortunate scenario. What happens in Masajid? The 27th night of Ramadan comes in, everybody does the khatam then, and then the 28th, 29th, the masjid is empty. Even for Taraweeh, you'd be lucky to get one or two safs. Whereas normally you get 10 safs, but once 27th hits, and then 28th, 29th, there's like, you know, two, three safs. As if the 28th and 29th nights of Ramadan have no value. This is foolishness and this is ignorance on our behalf. We ultimately don't know exactly. Allah Ta'ala has not given us the exact knowledge of Laylatul Qadr. So we should treat it like that. Right? Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not say it is definitely on the 27th. We don't have anything conclusive. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam ultimately commanded us to seek it in the last 10 nights. So that includes the 29th. It doesn't have to be on the 27th. It could be on the 29th. It could be on the 21st, 23rd, 25th, 27th, and 29th. Right? We have to take advantage of all these nights. That's the first wisdom of Allah Ta'ala hiding Laylatul Qadr, and that a person spends more nights in the ibadah. The second wisdom, interesting wisdom, in hiding Laylatul Qadr is that if a person knows, hypothetically, that Laylatul Qadr is, let's say, on the 25th, let's say Allah Ta'ala, hypothetically again, not saying for real, Allah Ta'ala, let's say that we know that it's on the 25th. A person who is a habitual sinner, a person who habitually, who has a adat of engaging in haram every night, he knows that the 25th is Laylatul Qadr, but because he has such a habit of sinning, in spite of it being Laylatul Qadr, he still engages in his sins on the night of 25th. Assuming it's Laylatul Qadr. So this person, his iman is in jeopardy. Because even in spite of the fact that he knows for a fact that Laylatul Qadr is 25th, he doesn't care. And he's still engaging in haram. So in this angle, this is a mercy from Allah Ta'ala. Those people who are habitual sinners, because every night is a possibility of Laylatul Qadr, not definitive, first of all, it encourages them, it pushes them further to stay away from haram and sin, and it also keeps them further away from losing their iman. And again, a person should stay away from sin. We have to stay away from haram. I reiterate the advice, one of the greatest advices, our respective Shaykh, Rahimullah, Azamullah Harun Sahib, Abba Suma, Rahimullah, passed away a few months ago. He gave us very, very beautiful advice a few years back. He used to tell us that, you know, do dhikr, right? And he used to tell us that you don't have to do so much dhikr, right? And he gave us, you know, a small litany of dhikr, right? Small schedule, right? Do 100 times La ilaha illallah, right? 100 times durood, right? Salat and salam on Rasulullah, and 100 times istighfar. But he said, more important than you doing an abundance of dhikr is staying away from guna and haram and sin. Stay away from sin. This staying away from sin is the person's quickest route, most direct route, one of the most quickest ways that'll bring him close to Allah Ta'ala is by staying away from haram. Because by staying away from haram, a person builds his taqwa. I apologize for that. And next. Allah Ta'ala says, تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَأَةُ لَيْتُ الْقَدْرِ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ. The night of power, Laylatul Qadr, is better than 1,000 months. It is better than 83 years. This is a common mistake people make. They say that Laylatul Qadr is equivalent to 83 years and 4 months. It is not. It is better. Allah knows best what is the true value of Laylatul Qadr. And Allah Ta'ala says in the next ayah, تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالرُّوحُ فِيهَا. The angels descend, a grand descending, along with Jibreel alayhi salam, on this night, with permission from their Lord. There's a few things to take a look at here. The angels, they descend, a grand descending. Allah Ta'ala says in elsewhere in the Quran, "Man, وَمَا نَتَنَزَّلُ إِلَّا بِأَمْرِ رَبِّكَ." The angels, they only descend with the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala is so pleased with the believers. Allah Ta'ala is so happy, so pleased and so, you know, appreciative of the believers sacrificing their nights to be in the ibadat of Allah, that Allah Ta'ala commands the angels to go down. It's not the angels just coming down just because they feel like it. That Allah Ta'ala commands them to come down. That no, you guys go down and you go check out my servants. The angels, they were first confused when Adam alayhi salam was created, that this human being, aren't they just going to shed blood? Oh Allah, we don't quite understand why they're being created. Right? The angels were confused with the creation of Adam alayhi salam. But Allah Ta'ala is showing them on the night of power that look, these creations, unlike you, they have to fight against their nafs. They have to fight against their temptations. And fighting their temptations, they are now standing at night, crying to me, making dua to me, doing my ibadah, doing my dhikr, doing tilawat of Quran. This is what they have that you don't. And Allah Ta'ala sends them down at this night to go, you know, to witness the people engaged in their ibadah, to send down, to make dua for rahmat, upon bring down the rahmat and the blessings of Allah Ta'ala to them. Another understanding of this ayah is that bi'idni rabbihim, that the angels, they come down at this night with permission from their Lord. Not only is Allah Ta'ala sending them down with His command, but another way to look at it, that the Mufassirin have looked at it, is that the angels are coming down with permission from their Lord. What do you need permission for? Why you take permission? You take permission for something when you want to do something. So it's not just Allah Ta'ala commanding the angels to go down. The angels themselves are interested and they are desiring to see the believers engage in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They actually take, that they're taking permission from Allah. Allah, we want to see them. Give us permission to go and see to see these human beings who fought their nafs, who fought their temptations, who fought their desires to engage in your ibadah. And look here as well, the obedience of the angels, right? مَمَا نَتَنَزَّلُ إِلَّا بِأَمْرِ رَبِّكَ. The angels will only come down because of the command and permission of their Lord. The quality of the angels is that they are obedient to Allah. At all facets, at all moments, they are obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We, as human beings, we can bring this angelic quality into our lives. We can try to follow in the footsteps of the angels. How? By also becoming obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the angelic quality, that they only do things according to the command of Allah. Right? لَا يَعْصُونَ اللَّهَ مَا أَمَرَهُمْ. The angels do not disobey Allah ta'ala. And anything that He commands them, they never disobey Allah. We humans, we have the opportunity to behave like that. We have the opportunity to never disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to constantly be in His obedience. And if we can obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we will be also adopting angelic qualities. We can bring that into our lives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is boasting about us on this night. And lastly, we'll end with this. We all know the famous dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught our mother Aisha radiallahu anha. What is the dua to read on Laylatul Qadr? Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'fu anni. O Allah, you love to forgive. You are forgiving, you love to forgive, so forgive us. Aisha radiallahu anha specifically asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what's the dua to recite on Laylatul Qadr? Now look, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not telling us on Laylatul Qadr, the number one dua to make is for money, for wealth, for power, for anything related to the dunya. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam focuses us. He says, just focus, the main focus, the main objective, your main mission on this night is to acquire the forgiveness and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not let yourselves leave this night except that, O Allah, we refuse to leave this night except that you have forgiven us. This shifts our mindset to the main goal in life. The main goal in life has always been to acquire the mercy of Allah, to prepare a meeting with Allah. Whatever hardships we have in life, whatever stress and anxiety and griefs we have in this life, we always remember that these are temporal, that these are temporary. The moment you die, everything, all your connections to the dunya are cut off, and now you only have to look forward to that which is eternal. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam once put his finger in the ocean, he took it out, and he said, "Mad dunya fil akhirati illa mithlu ma yaj'al ahadukum isba'ahu fil yammi falyanzur bima yarji." Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam once dipped his finger into the ocean, he took it out, and then he showed the companions that this dunya compared to the akhirah is like comparing the amount of moisture I have on my finger compared to all the oceans of the world. We have hardships in life, we have difficulties in life, we have stress in life, we have worries in life. Always remember, kun fi dunya ka'annaka gharib. Be in this dunya like you are a traveler. We're just walking, we're just going from stage to stage. We're not going to be here forever. Nobody's going to be here forever. How much are we going to sacrifice for this dunya, and how much are we ready to sacrifice for akhirah, for eternal life? Right? We have to make our preparation for the eternal life. There are other things to say about, you know, Surah Al-Qadr. There are other things to say about Surah Al-Qadr. May Allah Ta'ala allow us to bring whatever that has been discussed into our practice. Allow us to acquire the nur and the recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine Allah Ta'ala boasts about us. What we can do for our preparation of Laylatul Qadr in Ramadan is start building the habit of the Tahajjud Salah. At least make the intention before when we go to sleep every night, O Allah, give me the ability to stand for the Tahajjud Salah. And the simplest way to catch Laylatul Qadr, or just catching one of the best ways we can take advantage of you know these nights, is by performing Isha Salah and Fajr Salah with the Jama'ah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that whoever prays Isha Salah with the Jama'ah, it is as though he has stood half the night. And if that person performs Fajr Salah with the Jama'ah, it is as though he has performed the entire night in Jama'ah. And in fact, Imam Qurtubi rahimahullah mentions this hadith at the end of his discussion of the Tafsir Laylatul Qadr, indicating to us that this is a very simple, easy formula to catch Laylatul Qadr. If we are unable to perform Tahajjud, build the habit of Tahajjud, that even on the nights of Laylatul Qadr we can't catch Tahajjud, that at the bare minimum, at the barest of minimums, make sure for the men at least to catch Isha Salah and the Fajr Salah with the Jama'ah. And for the women folk, obviously praying at home is better. And then we encourage our women folk, men folk, to also pray Salah with the Jama'ah, because then you will also get the same thawab that they do. May Allah Ta'ala give you and me the ability to act upon what has been said and forgive us for any shortcomings. I apologize, there was some connection issue. I've been having internet connection issues all week. We apologize for that. Inshallah, it won't happen again.